Well, I trust you'll take your Bibles with me and turn to Psalm number 27. Psalm number 27. It's a bit of a change. It's not moving on to Psalm 56. We're going to go back and revisit this psalm. We need to reinforce perhaps this psalm in our minds. Yes, we've been through this psalm. It was probably 6 months ago, maybe more than that. And time is right. We need to revisit these truths when it is so, it's a very opportune time. It's a fresh time in our minds for these truths to really embed themselves in us. Because things have really gotten crazy for many this week. And many have been directly impacted by the COVID virus. There's been the trial of physical sickness, and that's just no fun. There's been the trial for some of having to make decisions when you don't know what to do. There's been the trials of emotional roller coasters every day. And some have really been put through the ringer this week. And it has implanted the question, what's next? Or how about this one? Who's next? I'm reminded of a song that's, well, it's sung from time to time. Let me share some of the words of that for you. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from tomorrow's sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Tomorrow, whatever it's going to be, whatever it's going to look like, it's going to happen no matter what. We can't stop it. And as life unfolds itself, year by year, month by month, week by week, day by day, and even this past week, hour by hour, the things that are revealed can stir the emotion of fear. Fear is an emotion that can be very powerful. We're just going to call it fear. There's many forms of it. Fear, worry, anxiety, whatever the level is. God created us. So he created the emotion of fear. Fear can cause us to run from danger. It can lead us to take wise precautions. But in Joshua, God commanded many times to fear not. Well, that was a different kind of fear. That fear, that kind that we are to avoid, it comes from a foundation of worry, a lack of trust in God. God doesn't want us to fear. He doesn't want us to abandon our trust in him, in his character. Fear is definitely something we feel, but we have to realize that it is just an emotion. It's not a flesh and blood thing. It is, in fact, a spiritual enemy, that kind of fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, it tells us that fear, this bad kind of fear, is a spirit. It's a spirit that doesn't come from God. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. And this kind of fear, it comes from not trusting God. In this psalm, David relates the fact that He knows that he possesses the Lord already by faith. That's in verse 1. This knowledge, it gave David reassurance as he faced the battles of life. He talks about past victories that God had given him there in verse 2. He talks about his faith of future victories in verse 3. He knew that in his life, the only safe place in the world was to be in a place close to God. When we are in that place, we possess some assurances that the rest of the world knows nothing about. That's the kind of assurance we need right now. So when you are fighting fear, first of all, profess your faith in the Lord. Whatever your faith is, you might be thinking, Pastor, I don't feel much faith right now. That's why I'm fearing. Whatever your level of faith is, speak it. Tell God about it. This is time to just be honest with God. I have a little faith. I don't have much faith. Whatever it is, profess it to God. That's the starting point. You are identifying that the only solution to you getting through this whatever is trusting God. David says that God is his light, his salvation, and strength. And because of this, he would not be afraid of anyone or anything. Let's go ahead and read some of those verses together. Proverbs 27 and verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" So first of all, folks, we need to remind ourselves that God is our light. Throughout Scripture, God is called the light of our lives. How? How does that metaphor work? He supplies the light that gives us life. First of all, God lights our path. Psalm 119, 105, it says, "The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Do you need guidance right now? Go to the light. Psalm 18 and verse 28, it says, "For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." Are you surrounded seemingly by darkness and trouble? Go to the light. Psalm 89 and verse 15, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance." Is there no joy in your life, in your heart right now? Go to the light. Verse 1 also tells us that we are to remind ourselves that he is our deliverer. Salvation, it means deliverance. As a believer, remind yourself of this. As a believer, God made a covenant with you. In fact, if you're familiar with your Bible, I hope you are, especially in times like this, you need this. "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." God made a covenant with you, and he won't walk away from his promise. God had made a covenant with David, and so David knew that God would deliver him. And then we need to remind ourselves of his strength. As long as he trusted in God, David was safe. Verses 2 and 3, it says, "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. the war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Wow, there's what we need. There's what some of our family have needed this week, just confidence. And many of your prayers have helped provide just that for them. Number four, we need to remind yourself of the past. That's what David is doing there in verse 2. Remembering all the times in the past that God had protected him. And do you realize, I believe for every time in the past that we remember where God protected us, God came through for us, there are perhaps dozens more that we didn't even realize God was working in. And this gave David confidence, because the same God that had done this in the past would do it again because of the covenant. He's building confidence as he's remembering what God had done in the past. This is an activity that we need to do when we're bordering on fearing, or maybe are fearing. Just pause. Remember how God has been good in the past. David is focusing on God instead of the problems. So we speak in faith. We profess that, however small it may be. Remember, it is God's word that can cast down the stronghold of fear in our lives. Something happens, I think, when we increase our knowledge of God. The confidence gets greater. The fears get smaller. Also, when we remember the faithfulness of God in the past, we gain courage. When you are fighting fear, first, profess your faith in God. Start there, remembering what God has done in the past. Then the next thing we do is seek God and pray. Now, David is desiring the presence of God. Now, let me just say that again and emphasize what I mean by my repetition of it. David is desiring the presence of God. So David's state of mind right now, he's professing, started off by professing his faith. He's going through trouble, and he's desiring the presence of God. Notice what he's not desiring. He's not desiring that God would just make it all go away. Life is life. He's got to go through it. And he's desirous of God's presence as he goes through it. Look with me at verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Let me just pause there for a moment. If we could take that verse down. Have you ever heard that the story or the idea of a genie in a bottle? You know, you find an Aladdin's bottle or vase, whatever it was, and you pull the cork and this genie comes out and gives you three wishes. Have you ever wondered what three things you would wish for? What if you only got one thing? What would it be? What one thing would you wish for? We know what David's is. One thing, he desires the Lord. Let's look at that verse again. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. And here's the thing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. David just wanted to be in the presence of God. His life is falling apart at the seams. Maybe like this last week for some people, where it almost seemed like hour by hour, something unexpected, another curveball was getting thrown into our day. All he wanted was to be in the presence of God. Verse 5, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And that just speaks of stability. When everything's a roller coaster, we just want our feet on solid ground. The presence of God. David desired that because he knew when he got in the presence of God, he would be on stable ground. Verse 6, and now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. David's only desire was to be in the presence of God. He knew if in the presence of God, his feet would be on stable ground. And as a result, he would be able to sing praises unto God. Nothing else in his life has changed. A king's pavilion, as it's mentioned there in verse 5, it was a tent. It was a tent that would have been erected in the middle of an army's encampment on the battlefield. The tent was surrounded by the king's elite guard. They were all around that place where he was at. Then around the elite guard was the rest of the mass of army. That pavilion, that king's tent, was the safest place to be on the battlefield. That's a picture of us as believers. Life is raging, and we're safely tucked away in the king's pavilion. Well, we can be, unless we choose to be out of his presence. Could there possibly be a safer place in all of the universe? Of course not. This is a promise to those who will abide in that close place. So we have to seek God's presence. He wanted to be there. David wanted to be in the presence of God because of the presence of God, not just because he was in trouble. David's writing of this psalm, what's going on in his mind and his heart, we see that from not only this psalm, but others that he has written. He didn't desire to be in the presence of God just because life was falling apart. He wasn't one of those that just come to God when they need help. This was his daily desire. He sought God daily. This is what mattered most to him. Even if everything didn't turn out good, all he really wanted was to be able to be in the presence of God. Can we say that? David knew that by living in God's presence, he would receive God's protection. To be in the presence of God meant that he was continually seeking God. Have we not been seeking God daily? Folks, now's the time to start. Let the circumstances of life, whatever they are in your life right now, let those, if you haven't been seeking God daily, let those circumstances now draw you back to him. It is in the pavilion that we find these things. We find a place to exchange our trouble for his peace. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. We're in the pavilion, we're in his presence, and he wants to take that heavy burden off of you. Many times I've heard it and read about it being compared to a backpack full of stones. It's heavy. And we're in the presence of God. And Jesus wants to take that burden off of us. but we insist on carrying it. He's saying, trust me, I can take those burdens for you. I can put your feet on solid ground. I can do something in your heart so amazing that you will be singing praises. Do you trust him to do that? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And, result, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Our minds, that thing that is maybe running a million directions when life unfolds something for us. He keeps that too. He stabilizes it. In that pavilion, we also find a place to find joy even during the storm. 1 Peter 1 and verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious, the trial, God is saying, is precious, much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Jesus, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory in the presence of God. For those that will abide close to him, we have this promise. John 15:11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. As our Father, God, our Heavenly Father, Father in heaven, he is our guardian. That's what a father is, a guardian. He's our provider. He is our protector. This makes it possible to handle the storms of life with confidence and victory. It was this knowledge of God, this confidence, that was the result of David's time spent with God. It was that knowledge, it was that confidence that allowed David to face Goliath. This was the same confidence that kept Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from screaming in the fiery furnace. This was the confidence that kept the heart of Daniel. This was the confidence that caused Paul to say he took pleasure in troubles. You see, Paul came to realize that it was during those troubled times, when he was the weakest, when he was whipped, exhausted, worn out, mind burned to a frazzle, it was then that he was strongest. The same confidence that these men had as they faced life is the same confidence we have as we face each day. God still hides us away in his pavilion to provide safety and joy even during the battles. The enemies of life may snarl and threaten, but they are powerless to reach us when we are sheltered by the Lord. Isn't that a great quote? The enemies of life may snarl and threaten, but they are powerless to reach us when we're in when we are sheltered by the Lord. Now, I want us to look at how this psalm ends. In Psalm 27 and verse 13, it says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. This verse is expressing that David's fear was growing. and would have overtaken him if he had not believed that God was good. How do we have that kind of confidence? Well, we have to go back to the beginning. Meditate on what God has done. Daily seeking his presence to know God more. These times when there are no troubles or fears in our particular life, wow, what an opportunity to really get it done. To really prepare, getting more knowledge of God. See, I'm afraid many times we seek the hardest for God when troubles are unfolding. And when they're not unfolding, when we don't have all of these other things distracting our minds, when it should be easier to really focus on getting to know God more, that's when we really tend to forget God more. So sometimes the troubles bring us back to where we need to be. Wherever you are on that, these times when there are no troubles or fears, those prepare us for when life unfolds itself. Troubles are part of God's purpose for us. He uses them to mature us, to conform us to his image. God even uses the evil things that other people do to accomplish his purpose. Just like he did in Joseph's life. But we must seek him. Remember this passage. If you don't remember Psalm 27 later this week when life unfolds, and that doesn't come to your mind, remember this passage. Write the reference down. Write these verses out. Spend some time this morning writing them out. Keep them with you. Read these verses often and let it remind you when your knees are weak and they feel like they're about to give out from under you. Remember Romans 8, 31 through 39. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, which he is, who can be against us? God, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, can I add illness? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing that happens, nothing that unfolds in our life today, tomorrow, next week, nothing can separate us, it says, from the love of God. And let me just point out something here, because many times we tend to just rest on the emotional emotional feeling side of love. Nothing shall be able to separate us from that feeling of love. No, that's not what it's talking about. God's love for us is agape love. It is unconditional. It is an action love. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the actions of love from God for us. Those are all found in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Christ. That's where they're found. If we're not seeking the presence of God on a daily basis, we are not in the pavilion where we need to be. That's where these things are found. When we remember that nothing is more powerful than the love of God for us, we will be encouraged and the fear will flee. Would you bow your heads with me? Father in heaven, God, we thank you for these truths this morning. God, we thank you for this past week. We don't necessarily thank you for the issues that have unfolded for many, but we thank you for what you're going to do through them. We thank you for the grace that's given. We thank you for the mercy that's being provided. We thank you for the comfort and the peace that you have settled in some people's hearts and minds. God, I thank you for these troubles and how they have brought the people of God to each other, to love one another and encourage one another. I thank you for how these troubles have taken this family and molded it to be more of what you want it to be. God, I thank you for loving us. And God, I pray if there is someone this morning that is outside your presence and struggling, that they would take these struggles for the intended purpose they are, and that is to bring them back into your presence. God, if there's someone listening this morning that they're not struggling with troubles right now, but they know they're outside of your presence, God, I pray that these truths would spur them to get in your presence and prepare for when life is going to change for them. Thank you, Lord, for these truths. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, thank you so much for joining with us this morning. I trust you'll continue to pray for each other as we go through this week. Have a great day.